course and start our Sunday evening worship service. We're gonna take the song book, number 462. 462. Brother Aaron, can you help us sing it? This very song. It's good to see everyone here again. Let you know that you're our honored guests. Glad you are here. Hope to come back anytime that you're in the area or that you're speaking. Hope that everything you find that you're saying through here is not important to God as well. Members on the sick list, remember Aaron's grandmother, she's recovering well from the surgery. I still remember her. And also Pam Day, if you want to remember her, along with the Williams family, and also the Lewis family, the loss of the family. Member Stacy, she's praying our prayers. It's good to see her here with us. She has something attached to her leg. Courtney went out of town, she'll be back in the evening, so remember her. The invitation, Brother Mark Evans has that. We'll meet again Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. The next Thursday morning, 9 a.m. Bible study, 10 a.m. Order of worship, Brother Tim Clark has the opening prayer. He can be by Brother Mark Casey. Then, Chuck Frank is a lesson. Closing prayer will be by Brother Moore. Tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at the Clark's house, with his spouse. And if there's anything else, fail to mention, please bring that up at the first person.
For a faith that will not shrink. This ties in with our Bible class we had.
Now hear me while I pray.
today. Another day of life, and Lord Father, gave it to us, and thank you for it, Father. Father, we sing songs about faith. Do have faith here in the home of heaven for us in this present time. Never waver in our striving to be better, better Christians. Father, we know that your truth is where we can find the path in life that leads to heaven. We pray that you're saying we'll never waver from that path, Lord Father. When we do, waver, Father, when we do step off that path, we hope that you'll help us have our hearts break by knowing what your will says, correcting our wrong in our lives, and coming back to you. Don't want to dwell away from you, Father. Don't want to separate by faith and love. Father, we thank you so much for the invitation of receiving each other here. Thank you that we have the opportunity to lift each other up and build each other up in the place. You know, we fall and wavering, we just have doubt, and we can help somebody by mentioning that they're struggling. We have prayers led for us, listen for us. Lift it back up. Thank you so much. Pray for you guys. So we pray for those who are not in this section. Let's pray for thank you, Jesus, for the ministry. Not hurt you, and don't pray. Father, we know there's tens of Northwest that are hurting right now, and that you need upon you today. And also, God, they find God in you, and the faith that they have in you, difficult times. We just sing about it, Father. We don't know when in our time of need is going to come up, Father. Be ready to be a message and carry the home of heaven when that day does come. But, Father, we thank you so much for showing us that you're willing to labor here, no less school. Work the truth of your word and help us shape our lives and we can be more Christ-like. Father, we pray that you'll help us each day to examine our lives and make those corrections and always say to me, please know that. Father, as we sing songs of praise to you, may be from our heart and we focus on the worship that you give back to you. Give you the honor and glory and respect and awe of God and thank you so much again. Father, we have to set a prayer for the building that the Presbyterian Church is planning to have been given and donated again. Father, we can have that building built no matter where we are, among Christians. Among Christians, we can want that no matter where we are, praying that we bless together in the upcoming week. Father, we ask you to do this for service. We ask that Father, we send our mercy upon the God of our hearts and will. We ask all these things.
A show of hands of those that have come here. Let's sing number 384 then. A reminder of that. Lead me to Calvary. Sing the first, second, and last verse of this song. Lead me to Calvary. 384. First, second, and last verse.
King of my life, my crown be now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn crown brow, lead me to Calvary.
see the hands of those who need protection. Let's pray. Our merciful Father, God in heaven, Lord, we offer our thanks again for this opportunity, for this first prayer to get around this table, to direct our thoughts back upon the time that Jesus crossed the city of mankind. Pray, Father, that now this blessing from the point of this prayer, we'd like to take that and it's community with that Father. Continue our thanks for this fruit vine and this community that blood was shed on the cross. I ask that we have to have to do so in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable to your Son. Bless us in Jesus' name.
I'm going to go ahead and mark number 763.
Grass, you
you all to open up your Bibles to the book of Samuel. Samuel, especially the crowd tonight. Yeah, the crowd this morning. And we lack one of 60. Not that we're into numbers or anything. But, it's just good to see you here tonight, and good to see everybody out tonight with us as we gather to worship our God. We often make the point, 1 Samuel 16, by the way, I don't know if I told you the chapter, but 1 Samuel 16. I'm always amazed at the great lessons that we can learn. Not only just great lessons, but some cautions for me, especially stands out for me, when we've made reference to people like Daniel. Not Daniel, good one. But think of King David, a person that's referred to as a man after God's own heart. And I would like to have that description of me, a man after God's own heart, but we know what happened to him. So I'm always aware of the dangers that lie before us all. I don't want to always be talking about the danger. There's nothing positive out there for us. We're going to have some positive things from our lesson tonight. But again, when we look at men of God, and we're in the Old Testament, we're going to look at yet another. You guys remember, I made reference to it last week of a sermon I preached not too long ago, 1 Kings chapter 13. Remember, we talked about the man of God who was fooled by a man of God. The one man of God stood firm against those who tried to get him to do something wrong. He said no. But then another person came, claimed to be a man of God, and tricked him. Again, a lesson for us, not to let our guard down. I'm telling you, tonight we are going to glean some very important lessons from another man of God, of something that God told him to do, clearly understood it, but made it his own. So let's go to the 16th chapter, and let me begin reading in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you." Now, I want to slow down there, because I don't want to pass over this. I have to come back to it a little bit later. But he basically just comes right out and tells him in verse 3, "I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you." He's pretty clear. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at the coming and said, And he said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." They consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And so it was that they came, that he looked at Eliab. I always pronounce it Eliab, but probably not Eliab. But he said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before you." But the Lord said, not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That'll suffice. So you see what's happening here. A man of God is told, "I want you to go and anoint this one who's going to be king." And it wasn't going to be the one who he thought was going to be. I mean, he looked at his stature and just jumped to conclusions. Surely this is the Lord's anointed. Why would you do that, first of all? When the Lord said, "I'm going to tell you who it's going to be." Don't be jumping to conclusions on that. I want to know something, folks. What can happen to you? What can happen to you? And so tonight we're just going to bring, the short time that we have here, four simple points that we can learn from Samuel and from this whole incident that we have. So, in this instance, and the first thing I want us to notice is that there are times that man will approach such a dangerous thing for you and I. And we often looked at the passage in John chapter 4 or John chapter 12. Let's just turn over there quickly because I want to look at it from a different perspective. Yeah, we've got those people who were unwilling to confess who they knew Jesus was. But I want to look at something different. In John chapter 12 and verse 42, when it says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." And here's my point, is there are times when men can praise other people and want to praise other people, and people will eat that up. What can happen is that you and I can find ourselves approving of people that we shouldn't be approving of. How can I know? Well, see, that's my whole point. When we think of Samuel, trust in the Lord, he's going to tell you certain things. He's going to tell you who's the anointed one. With you and I, we're going to talk about later on in the sermon, I'm going to get there. I'm going to talk about giving the benefit of the doubt a little bit later. That's not what I'm dealing with right now. I'm talking about the fact is that you and I are not in the area of approving things that God doesn't approve of. Nowadays, we know what a big issue is. Romans 1, when I say Romans 1, you know exactly what I'm thinking of. I've been reading a lot of articles lately that brethren have been writing on this, reading it even on Facebook. But in Romans, the first chapter, we find in verse 24, he said, "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, to exchange the truth of God for the lie, worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, receiving themselves the penalty of their error which is due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not good." You know, folks, we're always going to be around people who are going to walk an ungodly way. We talked a little bit about that this morning. We talked about the radio program today. Andrew and I dealt with the question, what's hell going to be like on the radio? And when we talk about what hell is going to be like, we wanted to point out, well, first of all, is there a hell and why is there a hell? And the reason why there's a hell, as we all know, is that God is going to hold us all accountable. And we went over to 2 Corinthians. Yeah. There's going to be a judgment day. And since God is a just God, he is not going to overlook transgression. That would not make him a just God. And so you and I, if we often talk about Jesus being our perfect example. Jesus never overlooked transgression. Jesus would be willing to forgive sin. I get that. But he never overlooked it. People often wonder that about Jesus. Did he overlook sin? Never did. Woman that was caught in adultery. I guess he overlooked that. He overlooked that. Told her to go and sin no more. He didn't say it was right. He just said he was without sin cast the first stone. He was holding her accountable. And so the lesson for you and I is we can know what transgression is. And the point that he says here is that we're looking at is man sometimes can approve of those that God doesn't, and we don't want to do that. It reminds me over at 2 John. Now, we often read verse 9. 2 John 9. Most of you guys can quote. But you know 2 John 10. I know you know 2 John 9. "Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ does not have God." He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Now verse 10 says, "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." The last thing we want to do is to approve of transgression, that which God doesn't approve of. You see, well, Chuck, how does that tie into Samuel? Well, what Samuel wanted to do, he wanted to anoint somebody that God says, no, he's not my anointed. You've already jumped to a conclusion here. Our Lord tells us that we can know people by their fruits. And so, if we're going to go into this world as we are told to preach the gospel, Mark 16:6, to those that are lost, is that implying to us that we can know who is lost? Now, we don't know everything, and that's point number four. So, you know, have some patience. We're eventually going to get there. I understand our limitations. But with Samuel, you say, well, Samuel had limitations. Wait, what did God tell him? I was sure. And today, you know, with Tim and I, we've taken, I don't know how many people we have sat in a room and talked to. We've in that room over there. People say, you know, I kind of like to place membership. I want to be part of this group here. You've got to ask some questions. You can ask questions of us who make it to wait for you. You can ask some questions about us, what we stand for here, what are we teaching, what are our beliefs. And we have some natural questions that we need to be asking them. We need to find out, and that is a responsibility that we have. Why? Because we do not want to embrace error, is the point. We don't want to be guilty here of approving of somebody that God doesn't. You see that? And that's why you have 1 Corinthians chapter 5. That's why we spent a whole, two Sunday mornings a couple weeks ago talking about discipline. Why are we talking about that? Because our God is saying, do not endorse, do not condone transgression. Now, I'm not saying this Eliab chap was transgressing. I'm just saying he wasn't the anointed, is my point. And Samuel, don't make him that. And so we don't want to be guilty of doing that and conveying that in any way. A passage over in Matthew chapter 15. We used the Mark passage this morning. I'm going to use the Matthew passage tonight. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 10, that Aaron actually read the Mark passage this morning. He said, then he called the multitude and said to them, no, actually it was Dan who read it this morning. Hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. The disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when you heard these sayings? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall in the ditch. This followed that familiar text this morning of 8 and 9, remember? This. People draw near to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, the heart is far from me, and they may worship me, teach me in doctrine, and commandments. Comes back in that second part that Matthew points out here. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. The blind lead the blind, both will fall in the ditch. There are people, folks, who are blind followers. I get that. We need to recognize. And so, we know truth, and we know what error is. As we mentioned, you can't be for something without being against something. So you don't apologize for that. It's my own. That's what this verse pointed. Man often approves of those that God does. So that leads us into the point that man can disapprove of. I'm actually jumping ahead here, doesn't even make more sense. I'm going to the third. Then I'll come back to two. But man can disapprove of those who God disapproves. I just told you how that man can approve of those that are not approved of God. We'll do that. But he is telling us that you and I can disapprove of people that are not approved of God. Why would we do that? In order for us to help them. I have said many times on TV programs, radio programs, and even from the pulpits across the world, people don't like the word liberal. Why mention the word liberalism? You're building walls. I've said it a million times. I'm not building walls. The wall is already there. I'm just identifying. See, because if you can identify the wall, then you can tear it down. You can identify some problems, you can tear it down. And so the point is that you and I are not going to approve of somebody that's not approved of God, but you and I can know. That's what this point is. We can disapprove of those whom God disapproves of. That's what he wants from us. That's what he expects from us. How many times do we make reference to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1? You know that verse? You know that verse. 1 John 4, verse 1. Here's what John writes. 1 John 4, 1. Beloved, he said, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into this world. He you know, comparing this with Samuel, here's what Samuel needed to do when he saw Eliab. Wow, great easy man. Stature, I could, you can say that. But don't go beyond that. Don't assume anything. And you know, the point is that if that was going to be the anointed, the Lord would have told him. The Lord would have told him. And the Lord has revealed to us in his word. That's why we study like we do books, because we know those who are not. Problem with that is that some people seem to think that we are blank judges. Now, when we go to Romans chapter 16, people talk about this idea that, Chuck, we're not supposed to judge. I get that. But listen to these words. See how that all fits in there. Think of Samuel. Think of what we're talking about. In Romans chapter 16, he says in verse 17, now I urge you, brethren. Did you get this? I urge you, brethren, know those who cause division. Well, wait a second. Can I know what has caused division? Yeah. You can know. That's the point. You can disapprove of those that God has disapproved of. You can do that. He says, know those who cause division, offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. Well, I can know that? Yeah. You can't know that unless you know what the doctrine is. That's my point. You can't be for something without being against something. It's impossible. I know the religious realm wants us to think that way. The ecumenical movement. You guys, you know that ecumenical? Let's all agree to disagree. Let's agree. Yeah, let's agree to disagree. Let's get along. You believe whatever you want. Why, you know what, really, folks? I have more respect for my Jehovah Witness friends, because they understand you can't have it both ways. Their idea is, well, here's what the truth is. They don't have this idea, well, let's agree to disagree. Now, I'm not saying they're right. Don't run out of here. No, I'm not saying that. There's a lot of false doctrine there, guys. They don't even believe you have a soul, okay? I'll defend myself. They can believe you don't have a soul, there's no hell. I mean, there's a lot of false doctrine out there. And they don't even believe in Jesus. They just think he was an angel, okay? He's not the Son of God, but he's not God. Oh, that clarifies. I'm not for it. Okay, but the point is, they're standing up and saying, there's no room for this compromise. Where our other denominational friends think. And so for you and I, what we're learning from this is that we can know those who are not right. Now, quickly going over, as you guys see, Psalm 119. 119. Psalm 119. And let's, to save time, I'm not going to read all that section. Let's start in verse 103. Let's read a couple of verses here from Psalm 119. I hear pages. He says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now get this. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Do you know what a false way is? Yeah. Do you know those people who are following a false way? Yeah. Why? Because I know the precepts. I know the truth. That's the benefit. Samuel, look, I'm telling you, you're going on a mission. It's like you've given up. He's the truth. Live the truth. Samuel, go. I want you to go anoint him. Surely he's the one. No. No, you would know that he's not my anointed because I didn't tell you it was him. You can know that. Do you get my point? You can have that confidence. Samuel, you have that assurance. Now, it's not assurance like I know he's lost, so I feel good. No. It's got nothing to do with it. I mean, put yourself in Samuel's position. He's got to go, well, not him. It's not like he's feeling any bad attitude toward him. But the point is, you and I know those who are walking in the light. Now, are there limitations? Yes. Point number four, we're not there yet. We've got to back up. But having said that, so much that we learn helps us to know what is the right way. If you can know what is right, so that you can walk in the light. Can't you know if somebody's not walking? To some degree. To some degree. You don't know everything. You're not God. But again, by your fruits, you shall know them. And
that's the responsibility that we all have in serving. Now, I don't think I can find a clear passage of Scripture that Mark 8, turn over to Mark chapter 8, in line with this point, and that we can disapprove of those that God disapproves of. In Mark chapter 8, and let's back up to about verse context here. Well, 13 will suffice. Mark chapter 8, verse 13. And he left them, getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. That's my point, but I got to read more. They reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves and the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said to him, 12. And when I broke the 7 or the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. Then how is it that you do not understand? The point is, I'm not talking about physical food here. Beware of the leaven of these guys. Their influence, their teaching. What do you mean? I don't know. Right and wrong? Yes. Well, that's a point that I really want the religious realm to understand. We get that. We talk about that often. That's what makes for a strong congregation. We know what truth is. We know what error is. And that's the point. We can know those who are not walking in the light, because you know what? We don't want to be influenced by it. That phrase is familiar, right? Leavening process. We're Corinthians 5, I think you want to. Why discipline? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. The point is, you can be influenced by that which is wrong. So if you don't disapprove of those that God doesn't approve of, you're in trouble. You're not in trouble. Samuel, you're in trouble. If you go ahead and think that you're going to approve this guy, and God doesn't approve of him to be the anointed one, you're in trouble, Samuel. And God told him that. God came up to him. You're looking at the outward, I'm looking at the outward. Now, don't take that to the letter of the law with our parallel. Because you and I can see the outward. You and I can actually see transgression. Not always. Not always. As we're going to be getting to in just a moment. Okay, so let me back up. Talk a little bit about point number two. You know what man can be guilty of doing? It's not really Samuel here, but we're making the point that man can disapprove of one that God does. That's all. Now I know he jumped to conclusion, looked at this verse and said, surely this is but I know there are times when people can approve or disapprove of somebody when God has approved of them. Do you realize, actually, Samuel did that? We didn't get to David. So you were basically saying, David's not him. It's got to be this guy. You jumped to conclusion. Now, I know you didn't get to David yet, but the point is, if you're going to say, here's the anointed, then what you're doing here is that you're saying this guy's not going to be the anointed when God says he is the anointed. And the parallel for us today is the danger of disapproving of somebody that is acceptable for Satan. I can remember talking to people, and I want you to open up your Bibles. You realize that sometimes it's harder to please brethren than it is to please the Lord. Sometimes brothers have created such a standard that even the Lord doesn't expect you to follow the Lord. But what I'm saying is that sometimes people want to jump to conclusions, and you know where I'm going here. I mean, this is what we made reference to this morning. So I'll just read one phrase out of this. He says, Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extorting unjust adulterers, or even as this guy. I'm not like him.
You who don't be like him.
But here he is bragging to God, I'm glad I'm not like him. And God's like, but I approve of him. You see, that's a problem. Jesus often ran into that, right?
Remember the woman came in? Man, the guy's like, if he knew what this woman was, he wouldn't have nothing to do with her.
And Jesus was like, you know, when I came in, you didn't wash my face. Now this woman is washing with her tears, drying with her hair. You know, here it is, you're disapproving of somebody. But here's somebody that is coming to me with a broken heart and wants to do what's right. And I need to learn this way.
I love this. Unfortunately, it's one of those chapters. It deals with opinion. It doesn't deal with doctrine. Brethren, in the past, I've studied with the doctrine. Go to Romans 14 when we get for doctrine. What do you go to Romans 14 for? You don't go to Romans 14 when we differ doctrinally. Because we've already dealt with in our study that if we differ doctrinally, somebody's right, somebody's wrong, or you're both wrong, but you both can't be right when it comes to the doctrine of Christ. It's that simple. But Romans 14, verse 1 says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. For one believes that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Why, I love this. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him, is this point. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. It continues on. The context over eating a meat. Being a vegetarian. Don't judge. Now, Paul had to deal with the dangers of knowledge. I tell you, what is really a temptation for you and I, the more knowledgeable we come under the Word of God, is that you can look down on those people who are not as knowledgeable. And just because they're not as knowledgeable doesn't mean they're not right with God. There are times when people, because of their conscience, thinks it's wrong to eat meat. Paul even mentions, I go without eating meat. If it's going to cause my brother to stumble, I'll go without it. I don't want to cause my brother to stumble. Now, Paul mentioned that we would know that eating of meat means nothing. That's what he's saying, those who have the knowledge. We know you know that. We know that that image, it's just a piece of carbon. It's just a chunk of wood. Paul says to those who are knowledgeable, I know you know that, but they don't. And so we need to be careful here, because there are people who are walking in the sight of God, walking faithfully in the sight of God, where somebody might come along and say, they're not right. People think we're not walking. You realize that. You do realize there are people out there who think that you are not walking properly, that you are not faithful to the Lord because of what you teach and what you believe. But we're walking. We're doing what the Lord wants. People are going to do that. There's going to be people like Samuel who are going to jump to conclusions and just say that they're wrong. Now, let me make this point. Since you and I are to preach the gospel, Galatians chapter 1. There isn't any other gospel. Let me make this point. To the men who get up and do a talk, to the men who get up, not only on Wednesdays for the invitation, but to do sermons, don't have any problem you guys pointing out any error of any religious group. Don't have a problem. What I have a problem with is if you make it simple. If you say, that group, they're just wrong. They hate. Well, my point is,
they really do care. I don't want somebody. People create straw men altogether. When it comes to preaching the gospel, I told you guys when I was in Canada, in Georgia, told you that a local group there, a Christian Reformed group, they were Dutch, Calvin, got a hold of my newspaper article, and he wrote me up in full. He literally wrote me up, identified. And I got a hold of one of our members. There was connected. He had family there. So I called the guy up and I said, hey, I want you to know that I photocopied your bulletin and I put it up on the screen and the whole church read it. But what? Yeah. Oh, church, we just read it. We went through it line by line of everything you said about me.
Really?
Yeah. Want to get together and talk? We did. We had a public debate on the crowd. Didn't like what we thought. All five. We debated the point on, are you born in sin? I say all that because you can have people who say, they're not right. And I don't want us to be guilty of doing the same thing and saying, they're not right. Because when we got into that public debate, somebody didn't do their homework. And when we presented passages, we presented what the Word of God had to say, he had nothing. I have it on videotape. That is. But I have it on videotape, and it is rather interesting to watch. Somebody who just assumes that they're just teaching error, and we're coming with, you know, 250 charts, and he has one overhead of Romans chapter 5, and I said, hey, that's the passage I want to go to. Hey, put it up there. I loved it. Unprepared, assumed we're not teaching the right thing. My point is, like Samuel, don't do it, brethren. Don't fall victim to that. Don't make assumptions. Because that's getting us to our last point, and that is, you know what? We give one another the benefit of the doubt if I don't know. And that's my point over here in First John chapter 1. No, I'm not reading 8, 9, and 10 that we make reference to that we all sin. But the first part of this chapter, 1 John chapter 1, he says in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We're not private eyes. Private investigators. We are not. We don't. But you know what? I believe you guys are walking the line. Those who have obeyed the gospel, those who are Christians, you're walking in the light. Now, since I know there are times when I can know if somebody's not walking in the light, we've already brought it to your attention. And we don't want to approve of sin, right? I don't want to approve of somebody who's not approved in the sight of God, right? And so you know 100% since I didn't come to you. Now, wait a second. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have that you couldn't fool me. You could. I could fool you. Because the fact that you didn't take me aside this morning and rebuke me for being in sin, you don't have anything on. Now that doesn't mean to say I'm trying to hide something from you, but the point is that you've given me the benefit of the doubt that I am a faithful brother in the Lord. Thanks. I'm returning the faith. That's what we do as brothers. Now it doesn't mean we turn a blind eye. We've already that was my first 3 points. We don't turn a blind eye. But you and I give that benefit of the doubt for one another because we are children of God. We are part of His family. And that's why we encourage one another. And I know that you're walking in the light. Because you're Christian. You're living up to the name. That was what Matthew chapter 5 is all about. You guys are letting your light shine. You guys are being good moms and good dads. You're being good neighbors. You're being good parents. Husbands and wives. wife, you're being all those good things. Now,
does that mean to say that I'm saying you're perfect? Say that. That's the latter part.
But you're drunk.
What?
Proof.
Now, Sam. And
not him.
Him.
Got it.
All right.
Lesson learned. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't make assumptions. The big lesson? Listen to the Lord. Didn't we say that? We started with our reading. I'm going to show you who's the anointed one. Listen to the Lord. And that's what I'm saying here, folks. And really, what I'm begging from you, please, give me the benefit of the doubt. Always, please give me the benefit of the doubt. When it comes to gossip and hearsay, you know what? If I hear something about you, gossip and hearsay, I'll listen. You get the benefit of the doubt. Right? Get the benefit. Because I know there are those who are doing what the Lord wants them to do. Until we know otherwise. That gets us back to our second point, third point. Until we know otherwise. Now, if we know something, if you know something on me, you're not being my friend if you do not bring it to my attention. Turn to Mark chapter 7. We're just about finished. Be very patient tonight. Mark the 7th chapter. Pick it up in verse 20. Just about that. And he says, what comes, Jesus is doing the talking, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. And this is what I'm saying, folks. Hypocrisy, it does exist to some extent. You know what? Don't think, I need to tell myself that. Don't think your members, that the members of the church there are naive and blind. They can see. Now, if you're guilty and you have an evil heart, you know what comes out from this thing? Look what he talks about here. Look what comes. If this is a problem within, and that's why I can look up and say, I give you guys the benefit of the doubt. I haven't witnessed this. I'm not seeing this. I'm seeing people. I'm seeing godly people out there struggle with temptation like the rest of us. But I see godly people out there that haven't what? He says, what proceeds from an evil heart? Well, number one, evil thoughts. Can't read those. But he did say, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness. That's lewdness. That can show in dressing improperly, just acting ungodly in that way, in a lascivious way. An evil eye, blasphemy, and pride and foolishness. See, the point is, these things will surface. But you and I, as God's people, we're under control because we're walking in the light. And you know what? We know the danger that Samuel faced. Listen to God. Do what he said. Let's take these lessons, guys. Not be ashamed that when we see it, don't run the other way. Say, oh, no. Did I see what I thought I saw? Well, none of my business. No, it's your business. You've seen it. You're aware of it. If you hear something about me, bring it to my attention. That's really what I want. Samuel, he said, Chuck, you're a little hard on me. He looked at this man. He looked like a king. He looked, well, guys, what does a Christian? Really, what does a Christian look like? I mean, I see a lot of people in this world that they're just really nice people. They dress nice. How do you spot them?
Well, in time, the true colors will show. And let's just make sure that as we go through life, we're the kind of people that are what?
Folks, I want to ask you another question. Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Are you a part of God's? Don't put that on. If you're a child of God that's gone wayward, get this. The one thing that we can learn from Samuel is that you can fool everybody here. I could fool you. You can't fool God. You can't fool him. He knows your condition right now. Even though we might call you to lead songs, lead a prayer, teach a class. You can fool. You can't fool. And you can only fool man for so long. Say you're good to know that. You need to be aware of that and not be ashamed of the truth that you stand. Let's think about these things and apply them and find them useful in our lives as we go from here tonight. If you're subject in any way, let it be known as we stand together and sing number 763.
My King Jesus waiting, waiting in the cold.
Wednesday we're going to be here, but though, just a heads up for those who might be out of town this Wednesday. The next Wednesday we will be at Warren and Tina's. It's the only time this summer we're not allowed in the school, and it's only on a Wednesday, and it's a week from this Wednesday we won't be able to meet. It'll be at Warren and Tina's. Yes, that'll be next Sunday night. To be praying for one another, being there for each other, but if you're thinking about that through this week, if there's no other announcements that need to be made, we'll be back.
Our God, the Most High and Heavenly Father, we humbly come before the throne of grace and mercy. This day we've been so thankful, so blessed in so many ways. Come hear of your word, Lord, and to study. We pray to you, Heavenly Father, for those who mentioned thankful Stacy. We pray for the families, the William family, also the Lewis family, who struggle with the loss of love. May your mercy and your grace be upon them. Heavenly Father, we look to you for our daily lives. We pray that as we go through our daily lives, as we leave this place, we'll turn to you. Everything that we do in our lives, especially those things that trouble us. Each of us has something that we need your help with. None of us are able to do without you. We pray that we'll always be a humble people. We pray that we'll always be a special people. Thankful for you Savior. Give us that hope of salvation. And we offer this prayer in Jesus Christ's name.
For any who are interested, a bunch of us, don't really have a home big enough for everybody. Pizza Hut is always empty, so we're just going to have a pizza party at their place. So whoever wants to come there, a bunch of us are just going to head there tonight, right here in Newburgh.